All right, listen up. This is Hoxton on Audio Boom. Get your ears working, people.
Hello, and welcome to Double Tap, Audio Boom's official gaming podcast. I'm Alice Taplin, and this week I'm joined by Anne-Marie Imaphodon to talk about her company, Stemettes. But first, following his foray into the world of Octodad, I'm once again joined by Jamie to show him another weird and wonderful indie game. This week, we're looking at Goat Simulator, Coffee Stain Studios' third-person sandbox where everyone finally gets to live out their true dreams to be a goat. Welcome back, Jamie.
I'm slightly scared.
Well, look, I gave you a choice this time between being bred or being a goat, and you chose this. You bought this on yourself.
And now I guess I'm regretting choosing goat. But I guess we'll find out. I went with goat because of the goat emoji, and I feel like I've got more to do with goats. I wish I hadn't said that.
You're at one with the goat.
I'm at one with the goat. I'm at least at one with the goat emoji. I'm hoping that's going to transfer into today's game.
Yes, and you did well at being an octopus last time, so obviously...
Did I, though?
The animal kick...
Did I?
I was trying to compliment you.
Right, let's do this then. Yeah. Let's play Goat Simulator. Okay. Oh, it's a WSD game, right?
Yep. Sprint is left shift. Jump is the space bar.
Okay.
Attack.
Oh God, I have to attack people as well?
You can, if you want to.
Right, okay.
Attack is the left mouse button. Lick is E.
Do you say lick?
Lick is E. Bar is 1, and ragdoll is Q, if you scroll. I think we should go for the classic Goatville.
Okay, go to Goatville. And then there's something about a mutator here.
Mm-hmm.
So I can have a jetpack, a blue streak, an Italian dinosaur goat. I think that's the one. Yeah, let's have a dinosaur goat. Is that do I
you
need?
Can se- you can select others.
Oh, more. Can I? I want a jetpack as well then. That'll do goat. Almost a,
yeah,
that'll do donkey.
I got that.
That'll
got,
do donkey. Yeah. That'll do. Great. Okay. So I've started in a field, a fenced off field. There's a man there. Can I lick the man?
So yeah, if you lick the car at the right time, then you can go.
Oh, let's see if we can jump onto a.
Oh God.
Okay. There's a big truck coming. Big truck, lick.
There you go.
There we go.
Woo-hoo. What was one again? Oh, that was bar, wasn't it? Oh yeah, and
what was one again, Alice?
I think it was left click.
Oh God,
attack,
I just got killed
it?
By a car. Oh, I got points for getting hit by a car.
Yep.
I quite like jumping a lot. It's quite like Goatilicious.
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 Oh my God.
So, tell me, Alice.
Mm-hmm.
How do I win Goat Simulator?
You don't.
Oh. Okay, so I've just licked onto this man's foot.
Yeah, you also headbutted him.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, that's why he fell over.
So I'm currently dragging this man. Is his head falling off?
No.
I think he suddenly realised that I'm pulling him along by his foot.
Are you feeling more at one with the goats than ever
before? I mean,
before?
Ever. Like, I feel so much better than a goat emoji right now. I feel like two goat emojis. Oh my God!
Whoa!
I just jumped onto a treadmill, then got thrown off it.
I then got thrown onto the trampoline.
And exploded a car all in one go.
Amazing.
It was kind of beautiful. So, I'm wearing a jetpack.
Yeah, I was about to say this.
How do I use said jetpack? There's a firework. There's got to be some... Oh, there we go. There we go. Now we're playing Goat Simulator.
That's how you start the jetpack.
You walk over a firework and then crash. Yeah, right now I'm jumping on some mattresses.
They're really dirty mattresses as well.
Yeah. Why are they so dirty?
I mean, I don't mean to ruin your fun, but they're disgusting.
Oh, 3 jumps on mattresses. 4, 5. 5 jumps. Yeah. That's got to be a goat record.
Goat world records. There are protesters over there.
Oh, are there?
Yeah, go back that way.
Are they protesting goats?
The other way.
That's a disgrace. Other way.
No no penis-shaped food.
Okay, so I have two problems with this. One, why not?
Yep.
Two, I'm a goat. Everyone else running away, and there's one man standing true being like, I still don't like penis-shaped food. Oh, what just happened?
We are now, oh my God, we are now in a castle. There's a big red carpet. Goats are bowing towards Jamie as he walks along the red carpet towards his goat throne, which is actually a terrifying looking throne.
It looks a little bit Game of Thrones-y, doesn't it?
Oh God. Now the throne is on fire.
For a greater purpose. Whoa. Oh God.
You sacrificed yourself for a greater purpose. Well, that was your foray into Goat Simulator.
Thanks, Alice.
You're welcome.
Thanks for, well, I don't know.
Making
for
you
that enlightenment.
Yeah. Well, now, if anybody ever comes up to you and they go, Jamie, I have a really important question to ask. And you're like, well, I'm very wise, so I can help you. And they go,
I am wise.
And you're like, what can I do you for? And then they're like,
what can I do you for? Am I in this situation? Like on a street corner?
Yeah, you're just, you know, hanging out on the streets.
Right.
So and they're like, it's the Jamie Wareham. I need to ask him a question.
Right, okay, yeah.
And then they go, what is it like to be a goat?
Well, young Padawan, what happens as a goat stays as a goat. Jetpack!
And now it's time for this week's gaming news. Riot Games and Activision Blizzard are among the top 100 companies to work for, according to a list in Forbes magazine. Riot, the developer behind League of Legends, came in at number 39, while Call of Duty creators Activision Blizzard were at number 77. They were the only two games companies to make the cut, and both stated that the recognition was meaningful. Both companies are also currently hiring. After more rumours that its release date would be pushed back, Nintendo has confirmed that Star Fox Zero will be released on April 21st in America and April 22nd in Europe. The Star Fox-themed minigame Project Guard has also been announced as a standalone project. Both games will be bundled together at retail for $60 and will also be available as digital downloads. Xbox boss Phil Spencer has quelled concerns that Microsoft will be moving away from the console. After last month's announcement that Quantum Break, which was originally meant to be Xbox exclusive, would also be coming to PC, fans wondered whether this signalled that the company would be focusing less on the console and more on PC gaming. But in an interview with IGN, Spencer stated that these rumours were absolutely not true and that they are more committed to their console and the future of that console than they have ever been. Now here's Jamie with the sports.
Here's your weekly esports update. Team Infused's coach Nahir Ved has confirmed on Twitlonger that he understands why their team's support has been dropped for the UK League of Legends after a number of default losses and a recent player ban. Their match against Renegades Banditos was cancelled this week after Infused were not able to put forward a full roster after one of their players was banned due to toxicity. The 2014 Hearthstone Championship James Firebat Kostasik has joined Cloud9. Firebat earned the most money in the scene for two consecutive years and recently amicably split from Team Archon, which he co-founded. After having several players leave the Cloud9 team recently, this puts them back in a strong position.
and ESL has revealed the full details of the new tie-breaking rule they're going to implement for the first time at Katowice. For teams that create a three-way tie, anywhere between 6th and 4th place will now have to split the prize money allocated for that placing and share the title. For any placing above that, the teams will have to play 3 overtime matches against one another in a round-robin format, where each team will play one side once. The first team to reach 2 matches will be declared the winner. And that's your weekly esports update.
With many surveys now showing that women make up around half the population of gamers, more and more people have become increasingly concerned about how little this is reflected in the amount of women who work behind the scenes making the games. But all's not lost. Companies are popping up all over the world to encourage women to get into the technology, coding and gaming industries. And I spoke to Anne-Marie Imafadon, who runs a company that's doing just that.
So STEMETS is an award-winning social enterprise that's all about inspiring the next generation of females, i.e. girls and young women, into science, technology, engineering and maths-related careers, which is where the STEM bit comes in.
Cool. And you've got an event tomorrow for International Women's Day, haven't you? So just tell us about that.
We do. So we're running a Rise Hack, sponsored by Rise London in partnership with Barclays tomorrow for International Women's Day. And we are basically going to be taking over their space in East London. We've got 50 girls that will be coming on Saturday, 50 on Sunday, and we're teaching them all to make their own mobile apps. And we've given them a personal finance theme that they're building to. So there's loads of all this research and kind of customer research has come out recently around kind of the economic status of women and of particular girls. So I don't know if you know, but girls tend to get less pocket money than boys. So kind of helping them, maybe trying to influence their parents, but also kind of showing good behaviours and how can they use mobile apps to kind of gamify saving, for example. Or
yeah, and there's a lot of kind of talk around gamifying anything basically these days. So how does this kind of all fit in with, you know, the tech scene and all of that sort of stuff?
In terms of trends, so gamification, everyone's trying to gamify everything, literally everything. It's more than a buzzword at the moment, I think. It's almost like synergy is the word gamification. But kind of what we're doing this weekend is against the backdrop of this whole trying to diversify tech and the workforce that you have within tech and across engineering and science and maths type careers. So the idea is that, you know, allowing them to create, to learn, create and maybe even win something this weekend is going to give those girls the confidence and the whereabouts to say, actually, this is something I can do. And then meeting the women and being here makes it so much more real, but also allows them to build and start with that network, however young they are.
Why do you think that, you know, things like this, obviously things like this are needed because there aren't as many women in the workforce, but kind of why do you think that that's been a thing for so long, that it's more of a male dominated industry?
It tends to be kind of the 30 year mark that people look at, which tends to coincide, or which actually coincides with when we first had kind of gaming consoles go mainstream, and they were marketed quite heavily towards men and boys. So it was seen as kind of gaming and those kind of consoles and having that kind of hardware was more a male thing to do. So there was that. There are other kind of then myths that got perpetuated about this kind of boy gamer, which then extended to the boy coder, which then were perpetuated in films or TV or press or whatever. And then it becomes this kind of stereotype archetype that we all work to and assume is true, to the detriment of our economy, to the detriment of kind of the fulfillment of these women that could have been technical but were discouraged from pursuing it. So that's where you kind of, that's one thing that you can point to.
And would you say that it's important for women to be making apps and games and things like that? Because if men are making it, they're kind of going to steer towards a male audience because that's what they know and that's who they are. Whereas if women make it, they might, I don't know, encourage maybe the other developers in a game to make more female characters, for example.
It's more a thing of fairness. So it's what, 65% of gamers are women?
Depends
on who you ask and what you define as gaming and blah, blah, blah. But kind of you've got a lot of women who are now gaming. And it doesn't quite make sense that you've got men that are building those games kind of in isolation or kind of mainly just for the wide audience and then it ending up being women. So it's about female characters, but it's also about the nature of the games and kind of plot lines and just a diversity of games. So, you know, you've got your kind of point and shooter type games, you've got, you know, things like Sims, you've got all kinds of different categories of games. But if you have a different set of people with a different perspective, who knows what new game genres we might have.
And I know you do a lot of stuff surrounding like apps and coding, and obviously the mobile gaming industry has become a massive thing recently, but often people will kind of try and dismiss mobile games as like not real games, you know, like Candy Crush isn't a real game and all of that stuff. So, and often you find that more women are playing these sorts of games than men. So is that kind of, do you think, to do with the reason that people will say that these games aren't real games when actually, you know, just as much effort is being put into these sorts of games?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think, you know, if you've been gaming since the 80s, then kind of the initial Nintendo or whatever, or Sega or whatever it was that you had would be your image of what a game is. And so it being Candy Crush on a mobile doesn't quite look like that, and it's very different, so you might not recognize it as a game. But it's the same as kind of music, right? You've still got that same generational thing of, you know, what Justin Bieber puts out isn't music. You want to hear Michael Jackson, you know, that was a great era, or Motown or the Supreme, like, you know. So I think you know, as with anything, as with other forms of art, it's the same as, you know, over time it changes, it morphs, it evolves, and you either want to appreciate that or you don't. Doesn't change the fact that it's game or music or art.
Your whole thing is science, technology, engineering and maths. And, you know, a lot of the stuff, science, maths, they're all taught in school, but coding isn't taught in school. Do you think that, you know, in a way, if we started to teach things like coding to children, that could encourage more girls to get into it?
So I don't know. So coding is now, so as of the last 2 years, coding is now part of the curriculum. So in most schools, so most children now, kind of five upwards, will have computer science the entire way through school for them. I think it's interesting because if you look at something like physics, which is taught in main school, there still aren't that many girls that take it or choose that. So I think teaching it in school goes some way to increase literacy of it, but it doesn't necessarily spark that passion and that desire to want to study it. So I think it's one step to kind of have computing in schools, but it's a completely different step to say, actually, you might want to pick physics, you might want to pick computer science. And we've still got the problem of not having enough people to teach these subjects as well. So physics is a real big problem where, you know, each country across the EU has the same problem, but they don't have enough physics graduates just to fill teaching positions, let alone, you know, go on and work within industry or whatever. And with computer science, it's the same thing. So you've got a lot up and down the country. You've got schools that want to offer computer science, they're struggling to find computer science teachers, and are almost having to ask their ICT teachers to teach computer science, which is like asking a French teacher to teach Latin. Almost impossible. So there's a big difficulty. So it's kind of solving one problem and creating a couple more.
So what point do you think in schools girls kind of start to become discouraged from doing like sciences or anything that's considered a quote-unquote boys subject?
So it starts quite early on. It actually starts in primary. So we've had examples of that where it's something either unconscious or from peers or whoever in the classroom is kind of like, you know, you're a girl that's good at science, how is that allowed? Or how does that work? So you've got that. And then, of course, puberty happens kind of just after you start secondary school. And then it's more, so it kind of happens progressively. I think the saddest one that we see is when girls have done really well at sciences at GCSE subjects and then choose not to take them at A-levels because they don't want to be the only girl in the class, which at 16, 17, 15 is a real worry. Like, you do not want to be, you might not want to be the only girl in that class, and that's enough of a reason for you to not take that subject.
So do you have any kind of particular like success stories from, you know, the work that you've been doing with girls in terms of, I mean, anything, but particularly in terms of like coding?
So we've got quite a few. I think so we do a fair amount, which means that there's loads of opportunities for us to try and convince girls to go into either coding or something STEM related. So top of my head, just last week actually, we had a panel of girls speak with us at a tech conference in London, and they were from all over the country. And one of them had actually was actually studying. What was she studying? Media and publishing, like a BA in media, like some sort of writing journalism type course. But through hearing about what we're doing, coming along to our events and seeing that she could actually code, she's now got her first graduate role as a tech analyst at one of the big banks within their technology department. And that's been from her meeting women in the industry, seeing how exciting it is, networking with different women that we've had at some of our events, and then feeling the confidence then to apply for those kind of roles despite the fact she didn't have that background. And for her, it was that whole thing of, it's something that I might have considered, but I always thought I needed to have a particular qualification. And now that I know I don't need to, and I've done all this stuff, you know, outside of school or outside of college, I can then apply and do it. Yeah. So that's one example that comes to mind. But we have loads of them slightly younger who, you know, don't think that they're good at computers or don't think girls are good at computers, come along, are completely shocked when they've built a mobile app, completely shocked then when they win a prize, are completely shocked when part of their prize is, again, going to a tech event, and then they see the app that they've built over a weekend being built by adults who've, like, you know, bet their whole life on it and have a whole startup based on the concept that this girl had. So there's loads of that as well, which is quite affirming for, yeah, I don't have to, you know, I'm 12 and this idea I have is what those adults have done. There's no barrier whatsoever then.
And just kind of as a final thought, what would you say to any girls listening who maybe are wanting to go into like making games or coding but are feeling discouraged or kind of a bit nervous about trying to enter into the industry because, you know, it's so male dominated?
Just because you're a girl doesn't mean you're not good at it. Just because you don't already do it doesn't mean you can't learn. Like, none of us were born coding. And get online and have a look at, there are loads of different resources out there for you to get stuck in. But I think if it's something that you're scared of, having that social proof of seeing a group of girls doing it is going to be quite important for you. And if you can't attend one of our events, we have loads of events up and down the country that are featured in our app as well. It's called Ode to the Bee. But go along, kind of, we want you.
That's it for this week. If you want to learn more about STEMETs or get involved with them, then head over to their site, stemets.org. That's STEMETTES.org. And you can join Jamie next week as he talks all things The Division. See you next week.
Double Tap is an Audio Boom production written and presented by Alice Taplin.